This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me back.
Of course, man. Of course. I know there's a lot of new things in your life since we last spoke. I think in January. So I'm excited to catch up, dude.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a long time. Checking the dates and everything, obviously, it hasn't really been too long. But it feels like it's been years.
Yeah.
So it's great to catch up with you. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, dude. Yes. And so this episode is going to be dropping this Thursday, same day as nice. The remix. So we'll have a little perfect dual promotion. I guess just to kick this off, thanks for allowing Jared and I under our project Crystal Grid, allowing us the opportunity to remix your song, dude. What a beautiful song.
Yeah. Thank you. Honestly, I'm very happy to have you guys doing remix for it. I mentioned it in my post, like I've never had anyone actually do like an official remix for any of my songs yet, but I've been trying to get people to do remixes, and I've been trying to do remixes myself, but you know, it's nice to have something that's a little bit more up-tempo.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that way when you go to do remixes, you know, you really have a lot of, options in terms of direction and what you want to take it. So I'm happy that you guys took it on a more chill route, but mm-hmm. still kind of kept it a little up tempo, you know, some drum and bass drums, just a little bit like more liquid, mm-hmm. I guess, for lack of a better term. But I mean, it worked, and I like I love being able to see the scope of everyone's creativity, you know, and like I said, you guys maintained the integrity of the song, which is really hard to do in remixes. Mm-hmm. So Thanks for doing that. I'm glad that I was able to provide you with the song to do it for, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember when did you drop it in February or March?
I think it was February.
February.
The date's escaping me.
I remember I was so stoked on it, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to do a heavy remix. We're going to make this super heavy. And then honestly, like I got the stems in the project file, or I think you sent me the entire project file, if I remember correctly. And I started experimenting, and I was like, man, I don't want to get too heavy. I want to keep the integrity of that track because it's just so good. And so it was fun to,
thank you.
It was difficult in that way, because then after a couple sessions, I was like, well, what can I do? what can I do to remix this song? And so just sprinkling in some heavier sounds, putting in the punchier drums, making sure that it would be applicable for live shows and in the dance floor, but keeping the integrity of those piano lines, the chords, and that synth lead too. There's something about that synth lead, dude. I just love it so much. But it was an absolute blast. I'm excited to share it with everybody, and I'm stoked that you're taking a heavier drum and bass route as well.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm having some cam issues right now, but trying to figure it out.
Oh, you're good.
Everything else is still working. It's just my camera.
Yeah, you're good, man.
But I mean, I feel like even though, kind of like you mentioned, the track itself was a little heavy, to an extent, I feel like it wasn't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on some of the drum and bass music that I'm inspired by, it kind of falls really short.
Mm-hmm.
In that heavy aspect, you know, like I'm big on graphics, Netsky, like Halogenics, like mm-hmm. some of the guys who are really getting in there, like making the most disgusting sawtooth basses you've ever heard in your lifetime. And then like, I want to do stuff like that. And then that was kind of the mindset that I was in when I sat down to make that song. But then kind of like you said, when you sit down and you're actually in that process, you're like, well, now I don't want to make it too heavy. Like it feels like if it's too heavy, it's not going to feel the same way when you listen back to it. So that was something I tried to keep in mind when I was making it.
Yeah.
But I just like that it has like this kind of light undertone to it. But it's still kind of upbeat and energetic. I feel like that's my whole sound. Like it's light. A lot of times it's minimal. So I don't want to go too over the top a lot of the times. Sometimes I feel like it gets a little bit distracting, especially for my own taste, because I make music that I enjoy listening to.
Yep.
So sometimes when music gets a little bit too distracting, like I can't really concentrate much. Mm-hmm. So I like making that stuff that when I hear it back, you know, it's just the perfect amount where kind of like you said, that lead that pans back and forth. Like I thought that was like a cool little piece of ear candy to kind of just like catch your attention real fast. And then, you know, get back into like the melodic parts. Mm-hmm. So it was meticulously crafted, if you will.
Well, and I can always tell that with your tracks is they are meticulous. And I can definitely, I feel like there's always intention. But kind of walk us through this transition from being a beat based project to throwing in drum and bass. Like what are you doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the simplest answer to that question is I have no idea. But I feel like that is what's driving me in my art.
Yep.
You know, like being kind of uninspired, but inspired at the same time, and really, you know, not putting yourself in that type of box where, you know, I did start out making beats, but, you know, my main influences weren't beat based, you know. When I first started producing, I made beats because it was kind of, like I said, it was minimal, you know, there's not a lot going on. You know, you take a sample, you know, you maybe take a drum break and start layering it. You know, there's not a lot in terms of production sometimes.
Yep.
But then when I started, you know, understanding production more and seeing all the work and the elbow grease that goes into making certain things happen and certain things sound a certain way, I started appreciating the music that I listened to a lot more. And then from there, you know, you start dissecting your favorite songs, like, oh, that's a really neat, like synth lead, or, you know, that's a crazy bass line. And like the gears in my head are turning, you know, what did they do? How do I do that? Because I want to make a song that has that type of, you know, lead or bass or drums, you know, any type of rhythm. But like I said, a lot of my influences are mainly electronic. So when I got into making beats, I wanted to kind of incorporate that type of electronic, you know, influence into my beats, but I couldn't really figure out how to do it. So then I got to the point where I was like, well, screw the beats. I'll just make, you know, drum and bass. Or I kind of made a few dubstep demos, some deep dub. Now I'm kind of like experimenting with like ambient down tempo. You know, I'm like kind of, I'm kind of experimenting with all the BPMs because I'm really curious now, you know, what my limit is at this point.
So
I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of out here doing it.
And I love that you say that, dude. And it takes me back to March, April, and May of 2020 was pretty transformative in my artistic journey. That's when I first read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. I started creating my debut sample pack, Mountain Beats Volume 1, which I went into the mountains, recorded, and just recorded sounds on top of the mountains, just like using hollow logs, rocks, and water. And I just started getting weird in my artistic process. And there was so much growth that happened from that period and really catapulted me to kind of where I am now. And Jared and I started experimenting with creating binaural beats. Like we just got weird. We just got super weird. And now it's, I think it was almost a good practice in following the muse or following my creative direction in whatever way that it took me, because now it's so, any weirdness that I felt before has become normalized. So when I'm on an adventure and I break out my my Zoom H5 to record some sounds, like we were in the mountains this weekend, and the aspens are turning yellow. It's absolutely gorgeous. And like I'm up there, yeah, and I'm recording the rustling sound of the of the leaves, and it felt completely normal. Whereas 2 years ago, yeah, I'd have been like, "What the hell am I doing? What what
right,
is this?"
Right.
So for you to allow your creativity to go in the direction that it's meant to go while not knowing and having trust in that process is commendable. And I think that's right, it's an important step for all of us to not only take once, but to continuously take and just get more comfortable with following a creative endeavor, like paint, like even outside of music too. Like maybe it's like, well, maybe, yeah, maybe I'm going to draw something today. Who knows?
Right. And I'm happy you brought that up too, because, you know, we're going to talk about beat block real fast. I'm mm-hmm. going to change the direction of the conversation, yeah, but a lot of times people are always like, oh, how do you combat beat block? And I'm always like, you know, take a new creative direction, you know, like you were talking about drawing. Some people paint, you know, you don't have to be good at drawing or painting to partake in the action of doing it. You know what I mean? Like, get your hands dirty. Me in particular, I love photography. I love making collages. I like photo editing. I like making visuals. You know, when I'm feeling stuck in, you know, regards to music, you know, I want to get in there and get my hands dirty, you know, visually, or, you know, like I said, taking pictures, because a lot of times just having that image inspires me. You know, like a lot of times I'll take a picture and I'll be like, wow, that looks like a picture that a professional photographer has taken, you know, who has been doing this for 20 plus years. And it's just a picture. Mm-hmm. But like that picture captures so much about that moment and all the things that I was feeling and going through and doing in that particular moment. And that's for me, you know, so like people see the picture, they just see the picture. But for me, I see the picture and I go back to all of those things that I had going on. Mm-hmm. And I use that to fuel, you know, the next creative endeavor. Yep. So I really like that you brought that up kind of naturally. But I feel like I have also been doing that a lot more lately because I did take a break from creating for a little bit just because things did get weird and I just didn't know where to take it with that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, kind of experimenting with a lot of things at this point. So, you know, you could only be so weird. So what do you do when the weirdness dries out? You know, you got to refill it somehow. So like you said, you're like slamming rocks together, hitting logs and stuff. Like I was just clicking buttons on my computer, on my photo editor and seeing what would come up. And then I take that still image, throw it into like DaVinci Resolve, mm-hmm, and start like automating certain parameters to make it move. And that was creating visuals. And like, now I'm seeing like, whoa, this is like a whole next level to my artistic direction too, because now when I make a song, a lot of times it would just stop there,
yeah,
you know, but now I'm making songs and I'm like, okay, well now the set could have visuals and, you know, this mm-hmm. could have like this cool third, you know, third layer to what's going on. So it's all like these little moving parts that amount to like the whole big picture.
Yep.
I think that's really important to like note as a creative, mm-hmm. you know, don't like cap yourself, you know, try new things out. Don't be afraid to push that limit that you think might be there, because you won't know what your limit is until you keep testing it.
Totally. Well, and it's I think being able to seamlessly transition between those activities on a daily basis. So for me, it's not so running. Like running ultra marathons and running mountains. It's not necessarily it's not an artistic creation that I get to take home with me aside from the memory.
Yeah.
But the cadence, like knowing that I'm about to go out for 6 hours and run up a mountain, like there's creativity involved with like, okay, what's my nutrition? What's the perceived output when I'm bombing back down the mountain? Like I'm reading the trail, run, like stepping over rocks and picking my lines. And I get rejuvenated from that process. I get creatively inspired from that process and be able to take that back into the studio and to just keep going. What a great topic, because that is so important. Like when you're stuck, like just keep moving. Like just right. like switch activities or switch the medium on which you're creating. Pick up, start a podcast, talk to people.
Yeah.
I love this right. dude. The podcast yeah. is so great. Cause I get to talk to, similar minded artists all over the world. And I get to my job is to ask what do you do? And then I get right. to log that and put it in my catalog of tools to be able to take on. What you said about the visual element, with you being able to add that skill to your arsenal, are you beginning to think far enough in the future of, okay, here's the cover art, but then here's the visual for this song when I play it live?
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the visuals I've been making have, you know, the thought process of me standing in front of them on a stage. Yep. So, yeah. So a lot of the times I'm like, cause you know, when you go to these shows, you see a lot of it. And sometimes it makes you think like, oh, you know, this is a really simple visual that they have going on in the background. You know, it does. I feel like it wouldn't take much for me to make something like that mm-hmm. And make it my own. But you know, how do you make it your own is always the question. So now whenever I'm doing visuals and stuff, like I always want something that's like nice to look at, but not too much that it's going to make you like dizzy and want to throw up because yeah. I've seen a bunch of that too. Yep. And you know, I appreciate the people who do it, you know, cause it takes a certain level of artistry, to pull that stuff off. But at the same time, you know, like I just have my own, ideas mm-hmm. for it.
Mm. So that's the artistic creative side. Business wise, what are you thinking in regards to the marketing and the management to making that happen, to getting yourself on these festivals or tour circuits?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So I obviously have no experience playing live shows or doing live sets or anything, but I'm in some communities where there are people who are doing this stuff pretty regularly, and I see kind of what goes on from an arm's reach. Mm-hmm. But I know that things are really hard right now for touring artists, you know, with COVID happening, our economy's in a little trouble right now. People really can't afford to be going out to shows, so like the viewers themselves, you know, the fans, they're having trouble getting to shows that impact the artist. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of things that are happening right now in terms of like live shows. But for me personally, if I were to make a plan, if I had a plan, not saying that I don't, but if I did have a plan, this is what it would be. I would be doing live streams of my sets, you know, mm-hmm. like I've been DJing, so I would want to do maybe... Well, this was my idea. I thought it would be cool maybe once a month to just do like a power hour mix of all the music that I've been listening to on repeat in that month.
Yep.
And that's a cool way for people to kind of get inside my head, you know? Mm-hmm. What inspires me? Here's a whole hour of all the music that's been inspiring me lately.
Yep.
And that would be a cool little thing to have in my archive. So when I'm, you know, a year and a half from now and I'm looking back, dealing with imposter syndrome, I could be like, oh yeah, these were all the songs that were inspiring me then. Like, I still love these songs. I you know, you go back to the most listened songs all the time.
Yep.
And then it brings you back to that time period and you're like, oh, what was going on then? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I attribute a lot of the music that I listen to, obviously, to the things that are going on in my life. So when I hear certain songs, you know, I listen to them because it's resonating with whatever I'm feeling in that, you know, time period. So it's nice to have, like I said, it's nice to have that in the archive. I go back and listen to my one mix I did a year ago, yep. and it brings it all back. And I'm like, oh, I remember, you know, that one particular feeling that helped me make this one song. Like, how do I get that feeling back? Because mm-hmm. I want to dabble more in that particular sound, or, you know, a sound that invokes a feeling. So I thought that mix would be a good idea to kind of put myself out there. But in addition to that, like, I feel like it's easier, I guess I'm going to kind of transition this into like DJing in particular. Mm-hmm. I guess as a DJ, it would be easier to be a content creator on socials and be found that way. You know, all it would take is a minute long clip of two songs that you mashed up, you know, put it out there. People will love it. They'll hate it. Mm-hmm. If people like it a lot, they'll start playing it at their own live shows, you know, yep. Like word of mouth gets around very quickly, especially on the internet. Mm-hmm. So it's a very valuable tool. So that would be one avenue that I also could take to like kind of put myself out there, you know, get that type of recognition to get shows and stuff like that.
Yep.
But from a more like actual formal business perspective, it would help to have like a manager or like a booking agent.
Totally.
But you know, I don't know anything about that part of the business to be like getting involved in that
yet.
So if you want to have that conversation, an aside on a different day about booking and management, we could definitely talk about that. But I feel like, you know, it's difficult in beat music versus, I don't know, like, I don't even want to say electronic music or like live shows, because there are some beat makers who are now trying to do live shows, which I think is great.
Yep.
Because I think there's a whole space that's untouched by people doing live beats, like beat shows.
Yep.
I know there was the Lo-Fi Festival. There's been two of them, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar.
Yep.
Okay, so that's the only kind of thing that I know that's kind of going on with the beat scene in terms of, you know, big name shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like everything else is kind of like tucked into its own little niche, like radio shows and podcasts and stuff like that. But there's, I feel like the whole live or, you know, like performance aspect of the beats is more about content creation and not really about performing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess to an extent they kind of blend together. But you know, I don't know. It's such a weird thing to think about to an extent, I guess.
I think it's the next evolution for sure. Because I know like Urchin and a couple of his homies, they went on a tour of, they hit a few states, and I know in Europe, beat shows are becoming more popular, and I think the perfect home would be side stages at festivals, little chill out stages, because they do have chill out stages where they're playing like down tempo and chill house. But I think you can make it specifically like lo-fi and chill hop. And
Just imagine like sitting in a hammock in like a little section of the woods with like somebody playing beats on a stage. Like,
yep.
I agree with you. I think that would be like the perfect little spot to be doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And so
you never know, like that can draw a big crowd itself.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, especially so like if you're at Lost Lands and you catch the people that are coming back from the headliner, like the main festival's over. Well, and then you have like the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. set. But then you also have the tent for the people that are freaking out. the people that are like, I can't handle any more dubstep, man. I need to chill out. And then they stumble into this tent and it's just a warm hug of lo-fi artists. Like I think it'd be perfect, man.
I do too. I mean, I have seen what's the one festival in Europe that's pretty big?
Tomorrowland?
It might have been Tomorrowland. Might be a little smaller than Tomorrowland. Whatever the name of it was, I do remember seeing there was one artist that I follow who did a lo-fi set at that festival.
Mm.
And I was like, oh man, that's perfect. And he was doing live flips and like just like you would with the DJ set, you know?
Yep.
He was putting acapellas on top of his beats and stuff like that. Like making it a performance,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's beyond the beats.
Yeah.
Which I think was great.
Yep. Yeah, man. I think there's going to be artists in our community that are already pushing the boundaries and are going to continue to push the boundaries, because I think that will be a great addition to our community to be able to perform live. But for you and I remember when I first launched Summit One, like somebody was asking me like, yo, when are you going to do like a live Summit One show? And I was like, never. I was like, I gotta play dubstep live. Like, what?
Yeah.
But now the more music that I have the opportunity to create and collaborate on, it's like, well, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe that is a possibility. I definitely won't get playing a heavy electronic set is that's a high that's hard to replace. And so I don't think I'd get the same that same buzz of just yell, you know. It's electronic rock and roll, man. So that's hard to replace. But I'm also it's it always baffles me when I try to kind of project into the future, and I'm like, I wonder what artists in our community are going to develop into, because some people came from producing electronic music into the beat world. Some people started off as beat makers, maybe going off into the electronic world. And it's like, there's so many people that we're all friends with and that we all collaborate with. And it always trips me out to think about like where everybody's going to go. Like, where is this web going to continue to spread? And it's exciting. Right. And so like with you really diving into electronic music, like I'm so stoked. It's possible to do both. And for me, it's beneficial, man. Like I have a chill side and I have a heavy side to my personality, and I get to express both of those via music.
Right. And that's something that I advocate to artists as well. And all the people who are in my circle, like, they're always, I feel like a lot of times they're obsessing over beats. I'm like, maybe just try something else, you know, like, not saying that you should stop making beats, but like at the same time, I talk about the limits and boundaries, like push yourself past what you think you're capable of doing and try something else out. Because like you said, I mean, look at Kenny Beats. I love that example. Kenny Beats was one of like the biggest electronic artists turned beat maker, like independent beat maker. So like, like you said, it's always good to kind of like to branch out and see what people are able to do, because I mean, I like using Kenny Beats as that example. Yeah. Like it's just so, he did it so fluently. Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't even know Kenny Beats made electronic music. I knew him because of his beats. So like that could be the same thing for a lot of these people in our kind of community. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be found out, you know, you make one electronic track or, you know, an ambient project or, you know, down tempo or anything, you know, out of pocket. I love using that out of pocket. That's my whole mantra now, just trying to make stuff out of pocket.
I like that too. I like that.
But like, you never know. And like we live in this era where there's constant connectivity and, you know, the networks are so strong and you're able to get things out to people like immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, all it takes is really just you taking the courage to you know, take that step, put out that song that you think is too out of pocket, and you know, maybe the next thing you know, you have all these opportunities knocking on your door that you didn't even know, you know, were possible for you. Mm-hmm. So that's always like, that's what I'm trying to do for me too. Like I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I need to make more out of pocket things. Mm-hmm. A lot of the artists who are more successful than me that I've spoken to about this stuff, I always ask, what's like the one piece of advice that you can give to a new producer, even though I'm not new, like dumb it down, you know, dumb it down for like the very beginner ones. And they're always like, don't make traditional music. And that always seems to be not those words in particular, but like that is the bottom line idea that they always are putting out there. And you know, now I'm seeing why they're so successful, because they're, you know, taking that leap. Mm-hmm. Their sound is their sound, because if they were making more traditional music, it would sound just like everybody else. Yeah. You know, when you talk about like I like the mid tempo stuff. So like Death Pack, Rez, Sudden Death, stuff like that. Like they're making this weird stuff and it just blends together in a way, you know, that it shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, what if I started taking a bunch of stuff that I don't think works together and just try it? Mm-hmm. Because what's the harm in trying it?
Yep.
You know, you make 100 bad beats for one good one to stick out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to try it. You got to try them, you know? I'm okay with making bad music as long as it gets me to the one that I need to be at, you know?
I love what you said, man. Taking the leap into the unknown. And so I love Color, which has been one of the most successful tracks that I've been a part of. That was when I first sat down to write it, that was my first attempt at writing a mid-tempo track. And I even considered grabbing reference tracks. And then I said, no, like I'd listened to enough. I'll just make whatever. And I made a cool little like psytrance mid-tempo beat, and I needed vocals. And I was digging through sample packs. I wanted a nice little pre-drop vocal and I couldn't figure anything out. And so I literally just pulled this over and I just said, I love Color. And it stuck. Yeah. And it stuck, dude.
Yeah.
It like I don't even think I had written it down. I was just like, ah, oh, let's say some words. What words? Like, yeah. I love color. And then boom, Seven Lions picks it up and it's at EDC and Red Rocks and Ultra.
That's crazy, dude.
It's wild, man. But it was out of pocket. It was a subgenre that I'd never created before. And then I almost put myself in the box of like, of using a reference track. And then I said, screw it. Like, I know this music.
Right.
I've never produced this music, but I've listened to a ton of it. I'll just bring my style into this subgenre. And now it's, you know, Seven Lions is still playing it. And
yeah, I mean, rightfully so. It's a brilliant track. So congratulations. That's well deserved.
Thanks.
And that falls into that same thing that I was saying before, dude. Like, all it takes is that one leap, because you never know, like, what opportunities lay beyond there. And like you said, Seven Lions, one of, like, the biggest EDM producers that are out there, electronic music producers. Like, all it takes is just that one song to really put your name out there, and then everything can trickle down. I'm not necessarily saying that it always will. You know, be prepared for the worst.
Totally.
You know, always take advantage of any opportunities when they're there for you.
Mm-hmm.
But brilliant song, dude. Sorry, that's just
thanks, man.
I honestly listen to it all the time.
Well, dude, I appreciate that, man. And I guess the in what you said about the trickle down effect, I guess for me, it's always, I'm always just focused on creating the next thing, and that's been so huge in any success that I've experienced thus far, is really just keep going, like, just be relentless and just keep moving forward. And things happen, dude. And if you just trust the process, and the further along I get in my career, the more that I just trust the process of wake up every day, I write music, and things will continue to happen. I keep creating friends, keep expanding the network. I keep meeting talented artists. And even with you, like having listening to Think About It and me just being like, damn, I really want my hands on that track. Like, hey, can I do a remix? And boom, you said yes. And it's like those opportunities are around us. And I think it's just getting out of our own way, try to eliminate whatever hesitation or fear, which is certainly based out of the ego, like just putting that aside and just moving and just continuing to go forward.
Yeah. I think the big takeaway from everything that you just said was discipline.
Mm.
You know, maintaining that discipline, you know, doing, like you said, you're doing it every single day. You have a routine, you stick to that routine. You know, sometimes things happen, you know, you have to kind of adjust, but discipline and being able to get yourself in the chair every day in front of the computer making something, whether it's good or bad, you know, just doing the actions over and over again will give you results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're big or small, depends, you know?
Yep.
But I think it was just Jared where one of the things that he posted, it was like, when there's the more time in, there's more data points or something like that. Like, the line isn't always smooth.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you're making beats for 100 days, you know, look back 100 days ago at what you were doing. You know, the points are going to be different. It's going to be smaller. Look, you know, 10 years from now, if you're making a beat every single day for those 10 years and you look back, look at the plot, you know, like you have been going up, you know, things have been going good, even though you might feel like you're kind of stuck. And that is something that I have struggled with and I've had to learn to deal with myself. You know, I'm now like I trade stocks and stuff like that. So the whole idea of like charting, when you look at the chart, if things don't look kind of good, zoom out, see what's going on. That's like the big thing. When in doubt, zoom out. So like, it was just interesting for me to see that kind of correlation between these two things that have no, you know, common ground, but like, they, you know, the foundational ideal is still the same. I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, discipline. Discipline is really, really important. Obviously, that's something I feel like a lot of producers struggle with themselves.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm grateful for like podcasts like yours and Jared's. Like, I haven't ever spoken to Jared. I know him from your podcast.
Mm.
So seeing the things that you guys are putting out there, it's very insightful. Especially when you're in those moments of doubt and like you are really struggling to stay on top of yourself.
Yep.
It's just always a good refresher. And the community is really supportive. Like if people feel like they're stuck, like don't ever hesitate to reach out to mm-hmm. like myself, to you. Like yep. we all are doing the same thing. We all face the same types of struggles as producers. There's really, you know, there's nothing that we haven't really been through at this mm-hmm. point, you know?
Yep.
So like, you know, use your network to your advantage. Like I know a lot of times people have stuff going on. They can't always be present in that moment, but you know, that if you need it, reach out. There's so many good people in this community that are willing to help.
Yeah.
And if they can't help you, you know, they know someone who can help you. So that's just a really important thing to put out there for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love that reference. And I love the opportunity to record and talk with Jared often because him and I, we have our brains work differently. He's analytical. I'm not analytical, mm-hmm. but so for it, when him and I get to bounce ideas back and forth, both of us learn from those conversations and we, so not only are we sharing what we learn, but we're sharpening the knowledge that we've gained as well, just by working through these ideas. But what and obviously I'm biased. If anybody looks at my daily stories, they can see that daily discipline is kind of, that's what makes me happy. That's been through trial and error. You know, there's been periods of my life where I'm not disciplined. And if you stack that next to, a chart that shows my happiness, it's going to fall off. Like there is a direct correlation between the discipline that I implement every day and just my overall well-being. And I think that the coolest part about our community right now, just like we said, we have exponential potential for all of the artists that are in our community right now. Like we still have lifetimes of careers to have. So we don't know where everybody's going, but if we can all help each other develop our discipline, develop our creativity, develop ourselves as artists, it makes us, it's the same concept as all ships rise in high tides. The better all of us are, the better we're all going to be, you know, if everybody can continue to climb this ladder of growth and to continuously reach back and pull people up. And then when somebody else is like, if I'm a little bit behind, well, I have people in my network that I can be like, hey, help pull me up.
Yeah. And, I am drowning.
I'm drowning. I need help. Yeah. And so it's, I love what this community, has become and continues to become, because I feel like we're all just on this journey of growing and learning and becoming better, not only better artists, but just better people in it. It feels so cool to be a part of that, man. It really does.
Yeah. It's great to be part of a good community.
Mm-hmm.
And too, like you said, there are experienced artists in this community. You know, like you have Cloudcord, you have mm-hmm. Radicule, you have I don't know, like Knowledge. He's not really part of the community, but like he is a big beat maker. He's one of the biggest beat makers, and they've been doing this for a very long time. You know, like they are a wealth of information in themselves. So, you know, it's okay to take information from these people because they have been doing this, you know, like they know all the ins and outs. They've been screwed over. Mm-hmm. They've, you know, seen all the good parts and all the bad parts. They've seen artists come and go. You know, there's so much that we, as newer producers, you know, miss out on because we're new, you know? And I know, like, lo-fi and beats in particular is very culture-based. So, like, if you come into making beats without really an understanding of the culture, like, people are going to get mad at you. Mm-hmm. Like, I found that firsthand. Like, I don't know, maybe, I guess the best way to say it is, like, there has to be, like, a certain level of appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get that type of respect as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I mean, I talk to a lot of artists who are new, who seem very genuine. They want help. And then I've also spoken to a lot of newer artists who aren't genuine. They just want streams and mm-hmm. they want to be, you know, the next person on Lo-Fi Beats, and they want 100 million monthly listeners and all this stuff. Like I see what you're after, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I could help you get those things, of course, you know, with my experience. I'm a great teacher. I'm a very poor person who does the things that I teach. So, like, I can definitely help people reach where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the same time, I find myself having this kind of dilemma where I'm like, well, am I helping you do this for the wrong reasons? Like, do I want to be the facilitator of you going after these things that I know may hurt the community? And I know, like I say that, like obviously playlist placements and monthly listeners and streams and all that stuff isn't really hurting the community per se.
Yeah.
But like, I would rather put my time and energy that I give to people in like a more genuine sense, I guess. Like I'm expecting you to be genuine. I want to be genuine with you. You know, that's the type of relationship that I want to build with people. Mm-hmm. So if you're just like coming at me and you want, you know, you want all this information on how to get streams and all this other stuff, like I can help you, but like, why would I waste my time doing that? You know?
Yeah, man, that's a good point. So I'm just like thinking about like my, DM conversations and like the conversations I choose to engage in and then the ones that I don't respond to.
And I feel like that's a necessary balance to have though.
Oh yeah.
Like you can't have one without the other.
Well, if somebody's just like, hey, can you add me to your playlist? And I'm like, dude, I don't even have a playlist, man. Like stop spamming a bunch of people. Like, come on. And I think the only thing that brings success is longevity. So I guess if I feel that I'm working or if I'm having a conversation with an artist that if I'm not feeling the authenticity or I don't think they're being genuine, I almost have I have faith in their failure that's going to inevitably occur.
And as weird as it sounds to say it out loud, like same, you know, like. One, I don't want a rusted wheel in the like all the rest of the cogs turning the machine. You know what I mean? Like I want everything to be greased up. I don't want any squeaky wheels. I want everything to be, you know, beneficial to the greater of the community. And if I see that that's not you, you know, you can figure out your goals on your own. You don't necessarily need me. Mm-hmm. But you know, there are other people who have a lot of information out there. You know, if you need it. You can find it. Like, yeah. I'm not your reference. I'm not your dictionary. I'm not your thesaurus. I'm not Google. You know, figure out your goals, whatever your goals are. You know, find them for yourself. But like you said, engaging, learning to engage in DMs and ignoring them. I feel bad because I don't want to ignore anyone. But some people, man, let me tell you.
Some are just clearly spam. I love what you mentioned about like CloudCord and so many people, or at least I'm beginning to see this. So I'm 8 years into this production journey and the people that continue to create and continue to push forward are the people that are succeeding. And example, Jared and I we're headlining a show in Denver on October 13th. And I have a buddy that's up in Denver and he sent me a picture last night. I saw it this morning of like the show poster. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And so I sent it to Jared and then I zoomed in on it. And one of our buddies that we played a show with in Cincinnati, Morgan Madison, he's playing with Deadmau5 at Red Rocks. And he was, you know, he was in this section of flyers. And that was just a really cool moment for me to be like, oh, the people that are still grinding and hustling and creating, they're the ones that are going to continue to push forward. And I think, gosh, I think once you sign up for this life as an artist, like you have to figure out if like, are you in it? Or are you not? Because like the first 2 years, I think are relatively easy because it's that honeymoon period of, and you're still eager. And it's like, how many losses can you take? Or when do you figure out that every single loss is a learning moment? And that's been interesting to watch, at least within my network from the electronic community. But that's also another piece of this beats-based community that I wonder who's going to stick around, but also within, I think the opportunity to be successful and by success, let's just say to land on a big playlist, like your chances are so much higher in this community. And so how does that affect the inspiration or the willingness to continue to drive forward? And it's probably pretty great. So, I don't know, dude. It's, I guess maybe I'm saying this for myself just as much as I'm saying it for the episode, but just never giving up and signing yourself up and knowing that you're in this for life. That's where the success is going to come from.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like you're saying, people just don't decide to be an artist, you know, like I feel like that's something that you're born with. Mm-hmm. So like once you realize the things that you're capable of as an artist, you don't want to stop, you know, like at least in my case for me, you know, like I've been playing music since as long as I can remember, you know, I've been immersed in it as a kid. My whole family's musical, all this stuff. So I've been doing this my whole life. Like it wasn't a choice for me at all. You know, it was part of my life and it still is part of my life. So like I'm in it for life. Like this is everything that I live for. Yeah. And like, I'm trying not to be corny, but like bottom line, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I've taken my fair shares of beatings. I've failed. I've been scammed. You know, I've made relationships with people who I shouldn't have made relationships with, you know, all of these things. And like you said, they're not failures. As long as you're willing to objectively look at these things and understand, you know, this is a learning experience. What I went through was there's a takeaway. Everything has a takeaway. And just kind of refining after that, you know, that is how you become successful in whatever type of, you know, manner you view success as.
Yep.
And that, you know, always constantly refining the plan is hard. I'm finding that myself. It's definitely not easy, but that is a testament to, you know, your character and, you know, resilience and stuff like that. Yeah. Like as long as you can figure it out for yourself, you know, whatever it is you need to learn from all those experiences, you know, do it. But there's no, like, we can't sit here and tell you there's a right and wrong way to kind of take that stuff. You know, that's for you. You know, it's similar to giving feedback on demos and stuff, you know, like someone will tell you what they think, take whatever it is that you need from that. And, you know, if you're going to use it, go ahead and use it. Throw everything else to the wayside.
What a spectacular point, dude. On that. So if there's, man, so thinking like what I guess looking at my life right now, like what's my most important skill? I think it's the resiliency. And it's just so refined that it's habitual. Like I wake up every day and this is just what I do. So resiliency, but all and the willingness to create every single day, to overcome resistance and to create every single day. But the coolest part about our community and technology is you don't have to be an expert at everything. You become friends with experts at everything. Cause like even you're like you mentioned marketing. And I was just running through everybody in my network who's phenomenal at marketing. You know, it's developing your network and your circle to be filled with people that have various expertise. So you can send the DM, you can pick up the phone and make the call and just ask the question of like, hey, how do I launch this product? Or just like you said, like who has the sharpest ears? Who do I like, hey, can you give me feedback on Mixdown or, we're not in this alone, dude. And I think as long as you're genuine and you're authentic and you're building these authentic relationships, like, geez, I look at my network as a team. Like we're one big unit because in turn, if somebody, let's just say like running, for example, like, oh my God, people message me about running. Like I'm stoked. You know, I'll send them like three different training programs. I'm like, check these out. And there's so many people like this that exist within our community. As long as you develop that network and that relationship, like, geez, you can always reach out and ask those questions. What you can't ask for is resiliency, like, you know, or like the willingness to work hard. It's like, well, here's some tactics. Here's some techniques. You can maybe do a coaching program to help get you there. Yeah. But that's an action or like just sitting down and creating like that. You have to make that decision.
It's funny though. It's funny that you kind of bring that up because I have been considering doing coaching with you know, mixing and mastering or even production. Mm-hmm. I know, like you said, you were talking about your strengths. Like my strength as an artist really isn't much in production so much as it is like sound design, mixing and mastering, stuff
dude,
like that.
Your mixes are clean, dude. Like all of the percussive elements and the hi-hats on Think About It, like, geez. Clean, dude. Oh, they sound so good.
Thank you. Yeah, so like that is one of my strengths. So I feel like that's where a lot of producers fall short. You know, like they have these really brilliant ideas, you know, arrangement wise, production wise, but then like it kind of falls apart because of the mix and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I know artists who are just like, I don't mix anything, I just put everything out, and that works. That's good that works. But that's not enough for some people. You know what I mean? Like they want to be able to mix it. They have a certain sound in mind. They can't always, you know, hit that sound necessarily. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the knowledge or the information or experience, you know, to get there. So that's an idea that I've kind of went back and forth with. Like, I would love to do one-on-ones, and that will kind of help them build that discipline, you know.
Yeah.
Once a week, at this time, we're going to be here, you know, probably virtual. Mm-hmm. I'll just be here while you do your thing. I'm here to answer all your questions. You know, if something sounds bad to me, I will be like, hey, take a look at this. This is why this is sticking out to me. You know, maybe try this as a resolution, you know, like a producer customer service almost.
But I like that.
But I really think that would be a cool idea, because obviously, you know, music streaming revenue isn't the whole piece of the pie. So like finding creative ways to kind of like push the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit differently. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it's sharing your hard earned knowledge, dude. And that's valuable.
Yeah.
I love that. Producer customer service. I like that, man. I think there's,
I thought of that on the spot, dude.
I like that. Like a helpline.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm down to start the idea. Well, we can plan it out. Like I'll get it on my whiteboard.
Like phone a friend sessions. That's actually pretty cool. Well, so speaking of that, so what, man, so we're, I mean, 2022 is quickly slipping away.
Very quickly.
For the next 3 months, what's on your goal list? What are you planning to accomplish in the next 3 months?
I am planning on becoming more comfortable in front of my cameras. I'm going to try to put myself out there a little bit more. And then 2023, it's going to be crazy. I have some music that I've been sitting on for a while that I thought was too out of pocket to put out. But now I'm kind of sitting here and I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to put it out. And I think that they're some of the best tracks that I've made so far. And I don't think that people really understand what I'm capable of as an artist. So I'm going to do the next couple months kind of putting myself out there, maybe get some eyes out, you know, put myself in direct view of some people, and then, you know, force feed them this music that they didn't know that they needed to hear.
Yep. I love that, dude.
I mean, but that's when it comes to like, we were talking about business a little bit, that's like my marketing strategy, mm-hmm. you know, like guerrilla marketing is something I'm really good at because I don't care. You know, I will post the same thing 100 times a day. If I put out a song, I think it's the greatest song that I've ever heard. I will post it every single day. If you don't like it, you can unfollow me, yeah. You know, like that is not my problem. The people who are following me for what I suspect to be because of the things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm doing this, you're subject to that, yeah. You know, like you're here. If you don't want to do it, there's the door. I think that's something.
It's a consensual follow.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it's not even like you're not bound by contract or anything, you know, like there's nothing holding you back from leaving. Like I've definitely unfollowed people before because I wasn't interested anymore in the mm-hmm. content, but like I do that for my own mental health and like my own sanity, because obviously if you're following certain things, it's going to influence you a certain way.
Yeah.
Especially if you're seeing it every single day. But yeah, I digress a little bit. Yeah. Guerrilla marketing. That's like my thing.
Yeah. Well, I think Broey, this is a solid spot to start wrapping this up. If there's somebody listening who's interested in some one-on-one lessons with you, how should they reach out to you?
So I would prefer for now to reach out to me through my DMs. You can also email me. In all my social bios, there's a link tree, and in that link tree, there's a contact me page. You can send me email that way. I think in 2023, I'm going to start a Patreon. And the plan for that is to offer like the top tier, do that kind of one-on-one coaching, you know, live feedback sessions. But I think for like the lower tier stuff, like people will get like my serum pack. I have a serum pack out for those of you who don't know. It's just like a couple, it's like 50 plus patches on serum of bases, FX, leads, chords, pads, stuff like that. And it's free. Like I didn't make anyone buy that. So in the future, I think because of the amount that I'm putting out, I feel like a monetary reward for myself would be nice.
Yep.
However, like maybe like a $5 tier, you know, you can get my serum pack. I'll probably start doing some sample packs. I don't know. Maybe I have a Discord now. It's been really, really dead for a really long time. But I'm thinking maybe try to revamp that and use that, as like a Patreon tier, you know, you get the, you pay the subscription, you get access to my Discord, you know, then you can pretty much do whatever you want inside the community. You know, I want to start doing feedback streams on Twitch, where people can send me their tracks and I'll give them feedback, live on Twitch. So like I have a lot of ideas. It's just, right at this moment, it's figuring out the best way to implement all these things. So like you said, for the next few months, that's kind of where my headspace is. Because like I said, 2023, I really want to hit the ground running. Like I'm not fucking around anymore.
Yep.
Like this is it, you know?
Game time. Dude, I'm hyped up. I'm so hyped up to make some weird music right now. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, dude.
I'm stoked.
Let's go.
Last thing, you need to have you ever chatted with Azito 88, Theo?
Azito 88, not that I'm familiar with.
So you should, because I know that he's getting back into drum and bass production. He used to tour all over Europe. Like he's in the know. So I think you and him would be solid collaborators. And if you're listening
Would you mind sending me their socials after this?
No problem. No problem.
Awesome. Just a little fun thing. I have a track besides our remix, your remix of the track coming out on Thursday. I have a single coming out. It's like a drum and bass jungle kind of vibe in October.
Mm.
And I have an Ex Machina flip of the track
from
your boy Armin that you referred me to.
Yep. Wow.
We've been talking for a while. We've kind of been like just waiting, you know, for the right moment. And the right moment had come. And, you know, now we got some interesting stuff coming out. So
that's a little
self promo. But I wanted to just tell you that because I didn't want you to think like your referrals are going to waste because, man, he is something.
Dude, anytime I throw out a referral or a connection, it's because I feel it in my gut. It's an intuitive feeling of like, hey, I think you and this person would get along and create something special. So
matchmaking.
Yep. I'm a music matchmaker, dude.
I love that though.
I do too. Well, it's fun, man. Once again, all ships rise in high tides, and there's
absolutely
so much potential for all of us if we can untap all of the skills and strengths that we have, and if we can lean in on each other, who knows what we can create? But, dude, another great episode. We're gonna have to. We won't wait as long. We'll get something. No. We'll get something before the end of 2022, and maybe look for another remix too.
You heard it here first.
All right, guys. Peace out.
Thanks, guys.